I've entitled tonight's message, Pursuing Peace and Holiness. Verse 14, follow or pursue peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now look up in verse 12 of this passage. This is actually a quotation from Isaiah chapter 35. As a matter of fact, hold your finger there and turn with me to Isaiah 35. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. And this is referring to the cross. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and on the highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there in this way of holiness. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Now back to our text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, like we were just reading about in Isaiah 35. Lift up those hands which hang down in the feeble knees. Now, this statement is made in light of what he says in verse 1 when he says in the last phrase, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, during a race, you're liable to have your hands hang down. And your knees can become feeble. And you can go back and forth like that. I did it once. I was running a half marathon. Never ran a marathon, but I ran a half marathon. And about 11 miles into the race, there was a woman that was ahead of me. And I thought, she's not going to beat me. And she was outrunning me. And I thought, I'll die before I let her beat me. And she beat me. And I died. And at the end, I'd never been that tired before. I was running so hard, I started going back and forth and couldn't run straight and just hit the ground at the line. I learned what it meant to have weak hands and enfeebled knees. And that's really what he's talking about. In light of running this race. And you know this race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The course of our life is compared to running a race. Let us run with patience the race. You've got a race. I've got a course. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now this word race is also translated conflict. contention and fight. It's an athletic contest, but it's more often than not referred to as a fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Now, there's nothing easy about a fight. There's nothing easy about a race. It's a conflict. There's much conflict involved. There's much contention. This running a race, there's nothing easy about it. Now, there's a very real sense in which it's easy because, like I said a couple of weeks ago, we start this race at the finish line. And we've already won in Christ Jesus. We start at the finish line. And the Lord also said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he carries it all and makes it easy and gracious. But it's still true that this is compared to a fight, and there's nothing easy about this, and there's a reason for that. We've got something called the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says the flesh lusts against the spirit. And that's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about the spiritual man. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit lusts against the flesh. This is that same spirit where we read last week of he's called the father of spirits. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit lusts against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. Do you remember when the Lord came in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked the disciples to pray with him? And he finds them all asleep. He said, couldn't you watch 1 hour with me? And then he made this statement. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is, the word is impotent, without strength, weak, without strength. So you can see some difficulty that is involved in running this race. And these are where these hands hang down and these feeble knees. Now, he'd already given instructions with regard to this race. He said in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about everybody mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight, anything that would hinder us in this race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. The sin. Same for everybody. Sin of unbelief. That's the sin. Fed by self-righteousness. Self-righteousness brings on unbelief. Twin sisters. Where you have one, you have the other. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Looking to self. Self-righteousness. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how's this race to be run? Looking unto Jesus. Looking away from everything else and looking to him only. Looking to him as the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even while I'm preaching right now, there's one set down at the right hand of the throne of God, representing his people, ruling the earth. And then he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. We forget we're children. That's so easy. We become slaves in our minds, and we forget we're children. And he says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So he's talking about running this race. And he says in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now that word lift up is the same word used with regard to that woman who was bent over. You remember her in Luke chapter 13? The scripture says she could in no wise lift up herself. What a horrible state she was in. And the Lord said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmities." It's used with regard to rebuilding. Building that which is repaired and broken down. Now, you know as well as I do that me and you both are very liable to have the weak hands and feeble knees. You run this race, it will happen. You will find yourself with weak hands and feeble knees because you still have the flesh to deal with. You know he's there all the time. And that's what causes our hands to hang down and weakens our knees as we run this course. And generally, when we're like this, we've forgotten that we're sons. And we've forgotten that we've already passed the finish line. And we're already accepted in the Beloved. And we become self-absorbed, discouraged, and it's only the grace of God, His enabling strength, that will enable us to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, renewing us in this race, running toward the place we've already started, the finish line. Now look what he says in verse 13. He says, "Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Now, this is a quotation from Proverbs chapter 4. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 4? Verse 25. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Make a straight path. Now, the analogy for making a straight path is when a farmer is plowing, what's he do? He looks, if I want a straight path to that clock back on that wall and I'm plowing a furrow, I'm not going to take my eyes off that clock. I'm going to keep moving to that clock. I'm not going to look down at my feet to see how they're doing. I'm not going to look to the side to see somebody else is doing. As soon as I look to the side, I'm going to veer off. I'm not going to look behind me to see how straight the furrow is. No, I'm to look straight to that clock and look nowhere else. Now, that is what it is to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to Him only. You don't look at your feet. You don't look at your walk. You sure don't look at the walk of somebody else. You don't look behind you to look for evidences. You look straight to the Lord Jesus Christ and don't be looking anywhere else. It's wrong. The only way my weak hands are going to be strengthened and the only way my weak knees, enfeebled knees, are going to be strengthened is by looking to Christ. That's it. It's that simple. Looking to Christ, looking unto Jesus. And that word, the only time that word is used in the New Testament, you look away from everything else and fix your eyes and your gaze upon Him, who He is, what He did, where He is, and you look to Him only. This is not trying to, well, I need to do some kind of spiritual push-ups to get stronger. I need to do spiritual squats to strengthen my knees. No! You look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You make straight paths. And the only way that is done is by continuing to look to Him and not being corrupted from the simplicity The onlyness of Christ. Don't you love that word, the onlyness of Christ? I love that. You don't have any choices. You don't have any options. There's only one place to look. Everything else is bad. Looking unto Jesus. Not looking to your experience, not looking to how well you're doing, not looking to how much you understand, not looking to how much you're growing, not looking to how changed you are. Forget all of that. Looking unto Jesus. Make straight paths. Don't veer off to the right or to the left, as the wise man said in Proverbs. Making straight paths. I was thinking about this scripture. As you, Colossians 2, 6, as you received Christ. How'd you receive Him? Now, I couldn't tell you when I first believed. I don't know. I know I did at some point. I can't tell you the date as to when that was. But I do know this. When I first looked to Him, when I first received Him, I received Him as all I had. I didn't have anything along with Him. I didn't have anything to add to Him. My only hope was who He is and what He did in my behalf. No other hope. Look to Him only. Now, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Do you ever graduate past Him being the only thing you have? Well, if you do, you're in trouble. You've gone too far. It's looking to Him only. That's what He's talking about when He's talking about make straight paths. Don't veer off to the right. Don't veer off to the left. And that's what prevents that which is lame being turned out of the way. If I do anything but look to Christ only, that which is lame will be turned out of the way. I'm to continue looking to Him only. That's what perseverance in the faith is. It's not staying religious. It's continuing to look to Him only. The last breath you take upon this earth will be looking to Him only. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, it's only looking to Him only that you won't be turned aside. If you don't, that which is lame will be turned aside. He said, make straight paths. Don't veer off, lest that which is lame be turned aside. You see, it's only continuing to look to Christ that there's healing. That's the only way. There is no other way. He healed them that had need of healing. Do you have need of healing? The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Are you sick? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The only way I'll not be turned aside is by continuing to look to Him. Now, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. By His stripes we are healed. Now the exhortation, follow. Pursue. Now that's strong language. This is not something you're half-hearted about. This is not something that's a take or leave it. Follow, pursue, make this your aim, make this your goal, make this your purpose in life. Follow, pursue, relentlessly pursue peace with all men. And more than that, make this your pursuit, peace. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, there are several things in the New Testament we're told to pursue. I love 1 Corinthians 14:1. Make charity your aim. Pursue charity. Follow after charity. You want something to pursue? Charity. Pursue hospitality. Pursue the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Pursue that which is good. Don't you love that exhortation? Pursue that which is good. Paul said to Timothy, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Pursue peace. Now, right now, by the grace of God, while you're sitting there listening to this message, pursue peace. Peace is a feeling. Now, you might have peace and it's not a well-grounded peace. Or you might have peace that's a well-grounded peace. I'm sure that there are many people who have found peace or felt peace and found out in no certain terms they woke up in hell feeling all kinds of peace. I don't want to have that kind of peace. I want to have a well-grounded peace. But peace is a feeling, the peace of God that passes understanding. And what peace a believer experiences in his heart when he sees that Christ is his peace. He is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. You know what gives me a peaceful feeling? That he himself is my peace. Having made peace, Colossians 1:20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, and you that were before time aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Right now, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Christ is so much my peace that I, in my person, through the gospel, am holy, unblameable, nothing to bring to my charge, unreprovable in his sight. I give you peace. Therefore, being justified. Now, if you're justified, that means that Jesus Christ kept the law for you, and that he put away your sins, and you now stand before God as one who has never sinned. Does that give you peace? The justifying work of God in Christ. Oh, what peace there is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is called the God of peace. And we also read of the peace of God. Christ said, my peace will I give to you. Now think of that. Think of the peace Christ has. It's hard to get up. It's hard to even think about it, but he's at such peace. He's at peace because who he is. He's at peace because he controls everything. His will is always done. He's never frustrated. He never worries. He's at peace. Oh, and he says, my peace I give unto you. That is the possession of every child of God. His peace. I love when Peter makes this summary of his preaching. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That covers it all, doesn't it? He is Lord of all. That's a summary of everything we believe, isn't it? Peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The Lord said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me, there's my peace, in him. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have sorrow. You're going to have very difficult things. But be of good cheer. And if the Lord says be of good cheer, guess what? you and I are to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We read in Romans 15, 13 of the joy and peace of believing. You know, there's nothing more peaceful or joyous than simply believing the gospel. That's the greatest experience this life has. And, well, it's not an experience of this life. It's an experience of the heavenly life. The joy and peace of believing. Now, pursue peace. And if it be possible, Paul said, as much as lieth in you is, live peaceably with all men. Don't be contentious. Don't be looking for a fight. Live peaceably with all men as much as you can. And there's sometimes you can't. You know, there's going to be people that are going to get upset with the peace you have, because if that's your peace, that means their peace is no good. They're not going to like that. And that's going to create conflict. Well, that's okay. But if it's possible, live peaceably with all men. I love the scripture, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, Colossians 3:15. You know what that means? Let the peace of God be the umpire. That's what the word rule means. There's the umpire. The peace of God. If it's contrary to the peace of God, it's wrong. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. And the only way this race can be run is to pursue this peace the Bible has been describing. Peace. I'd like to bottle it, wouldn't you? Well, we have it bottled in Christ. It's a peace that knows no variations. You might not feel it as much one time as the other, but it doesn't change the ground of it. He is our peace. Pursue peace. Be a peacemaker. You know, I love that beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Pursue peace. And look at the next thing he says in verse 14. Follow, pursue peace with all, with God, with men, among yourselves. Follow, pursue peace with all, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Pursue, follow after holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Now, if I don't have this holiness as my possession, I won't pursue it. Now, think about that. You don't do something to pursue holiness. You pursue holiness because you're holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You can only be holy if you are holy. And that's what happens in the new birth. You're given a holy nature. And when you're given this holy nature, you know what you desire? To pursue holiness. Be ye holy. I love this scripture. This covers every area of our life. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I don't care what it is. There's the rule. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, this holiness, the same word is used with regard to what Christ has made into us. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. It's the same word, holiness. It's the exact same word in the Greek. Now, how can I pursue holiness? It's a very important question. I'm to pursue it just like I do peace. But there's nothing I can do to make myself holy, just like there's nothing I can do to achieve peace. I got to look for it outside myself. Pursue holiness. I'd like you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 while you're turning there. This thing of holiness. Ephesians 1:4, I was elected, why? I was chosen, why? To be holy. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. When Christ died for me, you know what he did? He made me holy. By the which will we are made holy, sanctified, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Can you imagine being beloved of the Lord? If you're a believer, that's you. You're beloved to God. Heaven wouldn't be heaven to him without you being there. He gave his son for you. Beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, I'm so thankful that he put these two things together. What is the evidence of sanctification of the Spirit? Belief of the truth. What is the cause of belief of the truth? Sanctification of the Spirit. You know how you can pursue sanctification? By believing the truth. Now chew on that. How do I pursue holiness, sanctification of the Spirit? By believing the truth. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And if I'm going to pursue sanctification, and I want to be holy in all manner of conversation, don't you? I love holiness. I love him who is holy. I love his Holy Spirit. I love his Holy Son, the Holy One of God. I love his otherness. I pursue holiness. How? Believe the truth. I'm not going to give you a list of things that you can start doing that will make you more holy. Why, that would deny what holiness is in the first place. Holiness is that there's nothing you do to become holy. There's nothing you do to become holier. Believe the truth. Believe the gospel. Oh, in believing the gospel, you are pursuing holiness. This is what Paul was referring to, really, when he said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do you do that? Believe the truth. The fear of God, same thing. Same thing. Now, we have a race to run, a race that's set before us. Remember, Paul said, if a man strive for the masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Remember that scripture in 2 Timothy 2? The only way to run this race is to look to Jesus. Only. The author and the finisher of our faith. To consider him, to not forget our sonship because of him and its benefits, his chastening. Oh, what a blessing to be chastened of the Lord, to have his direction, to have chastening isn't him punishing you and beating you, because it's the training of a child that he loves. It's being beloved of the Lord. Make straight paths to prevent those hands hanging down and feeble knees, pursuing peace. The peace of God. Peace with God because of the peace he made. Pursuing peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Lord, how we thank you that you've put us in this race set before us. And we pray for grace to lay aside every weight. And let us lay aside that sin that we so easily fall prey to. Let us run with patience that race that's set before us, looking to thy dear Son, the author and the finisher of faith. Lord, how we thank you for that in your word. We know faith doesn't come from us. It's your gift. You're the author of it and the finisher of it, and you put it in us. And we ask you to do that. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, enable us to make straight paths. Deliver us from weaving to the right and the left, but to look to thy Son only. Oh, Lord, let us pursue peace. And Lord, let us pursue holiness. And Lord, how we look forward to that time when we're going to behold you with no sin clouding the view. Lord, you said in your word, you come quickly. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.